My name is Pete Redden, and this is another edition of The Way I Taught It, next level aviation knowledge in microbursts. Today's episode sponsor is RT Turbines, repair and maintenance from an FAA certified repair station you can trust. With over 50 years of combined experience using the latest in engine repair and maintenance technology, servicing each engine to the highest standards and ensuring FAA certification, RT Turbines can do it all from routine inspection, repair service, testing, and in-house manufacturing. Their experienced team of technicians will provide you with the optimal solutions to keep your engines in top condition. RT Turbines is a family-owned business with a quality promise in the aviation industry since 1996. Their commitment to quality and customer satisfaction is the foundation of their success. RTTurbines.com, repair and maintenance you can trust. On with today's lesson, Hail Wheel Aircraft. Chapter 14 of the Airplane Flying Handbook, FAR 6131, and personal experience will all be referenced during this episode with regards to how to get a tailwheel endorsement, how to learn how to fly, specifically takeoff, land, taxi, a tailwheel aircraft, also known as a conventional gear aircraft. Yes, normally a tailwheel aircraft is the way an aircraft was originally built and meant to operate. Tricycle gear airplane came along down the road and is the abnormal, although more popular, cousin to the tailwheel or conventional gear aircraft. Due to their design and structure, tailwheel aircraft exhibit operational and handling characteristics much different from tricycle gear airplanes or nosewheel airplanes. In general, tailwheel aircraft are less forgiving of pilot error while in contact with the ground than are nosewheel aircraft. We're going to talk about some operational differences between ground operations, takeoffs, and landings. In a tailwheel type airplane, the two main landing gear struts are attached to the airplane slightly ahead of the airplane's center of gravity. That's in contrast to a tricycle gear aircraft where the center of gravity is going to be forward of the main landing gear. This presents a unique situation where the tailwheel aircraft will sit in a tail low, high angle of attack position whenever it is on the ground, taxiing, taking off, or even sitting still in parking. A tailwheel aircraft will always be generating lift if there's any kind of wind, and we have to take that into account whether we're taking off, landing, taxiing, or parking. There are three major handling differences between a nosewheel aircraft and a tailwheel aircraft. They center on directional instability, angle of attack, and crosswind or weather vating tendencies. So let's talk about directional instability. During taxi, the CG again is located aft of the main wheels. It's kind of like a shopping cart. So if you have a lot of weight in a shopping cart and you're trying to push it, or maybe one of those carts at Lowe's or Home Depot or Men's Mall or whatever you call it, you have one of those carts and it's got this caster wheels in the back and not in the front where you have the handle, and you put a bunch of weight in front of those caster wheels and you push it, sometimes it gets cockeyed real quick. And that's the same thing with a tailwheel aircraft. That CG is in front of the caster wheel, the 360-degree pivoting tailwheel. And the airplane, once it starts to get sideways, it just wants to get sideways even more because that center of gravity and momentum of the center of gravity is now getting next to the main gear, and it wants to continue past them because the main gear is creating a higher coefficient of friction on the ground than the tailwheel is because of the size and contact patches, so that coefficient of friction creates more drag on the main wheels, and the CG is now coming around the side and the tailwheel doesn't have as much friction, so that CG just wants to whip around on you and it gets into what they call the ground loop. When we're taxiing the airplane, we have to think about boxing. Yeah, like boxing, like Rocky Balboa, okay? When we're taxiing, we want to box the rudder pedals. We want to make jabs at them. We don't want to press and hold like we do in a tricycle gear airplane, where we press, we hold, it has a specific angle that the nose wheel goes to, and you make the turn. In a tailwheel aircraft, if you press and hold the rudder pedal, the airplane will begin to turn. That turn will continue to tighten because of the aft CG aft of the main gear. And that turn will become so tight that you could ground loop and make contact with the outer wing of the turn, the wing tip of the turn. So we have to be very careful when we're taxiing that we don't press and hold a rudder pedal or brake unless we're trying to do a tight turn, or what we call a pirouette turn, where we pivot it on one wheel in a tight space. So we're going to be boxing a little bit at a time. So we're going to get we're going to put some rudder pressure in. We're going to box the left rudder to make a left turn, and we get that airplane turning. And once the airplane's turning, we now have to box through the turn to keep the turn going. So we're going to be using left and right rudder to keep the same radius of turn going. And then when we want to come out of the turn, we're going to have to start boxing that right rudder to get the airplane going straight again. One thing we have to remember with tailwheel aircraft is that the springs that are normally between the rudder pedal cables and the tailwheel, or between the rudder actuator and the tailwheel, those springs create delay in the tailwheel responding, especially at slow speeds. So we have to press and box ahead of our turn. We can't wait till we get to the turn and start turning. We have to start turning prior to getting to the turn. We have to start putting that input in prior so we can overcome the spring loading to ensure that the tailwheel starts the turn where we want to make our turn while taxiing. While taxiing, if you have a significant nose-high attitude, whether you're in the front seat or the rear seat or the side seat of a tailwheel aircraft, if the cowling's blocking your view of the taxiway, you have to zigzag back and forth, and you have to make nice gentle zigzags left and right so that you can look out the side window, the side of the front windscreen, to clear your path ahead, and you're constantly zigging back and forth. If you are front cockpit, rear cockpit, tandem cockpit, and you're sitting in the back seat, you're definitely going to have to zig back and forth and look out forward through your side windows to make sure that your taxiway is clear. And that's just gentle rudder inputs. It's not a big deal. Your instructor will show you when you start your tailwheel training. Brakes. Stay off the brakes. Don't use the brakes unless you're at a proper airspeed to come to a stop, proper taxi speed to come to a stop, or you're trying to turn or you're parking the aircraft. At any other time, stay away from the brakes. If you use the brakes improperly or at a too high of airspeed, you risk ground looping the aircraft, or worse, you could end up with nosing the airplane over up on the spinner prop and engine, and then you're another world of hurt having to rebuild an engine. We talked about that a tailwheel airplane sits at a constant angle of attack when it's in a three-point contact with the ground. So it's always generating lift, which means when you're taxiing, you have to have crosswind controls in. When you're taking off, you have to have crosswind controls in. When you're landing, you must have crosswind controls in. And even when the aircraft is parked, you have to have crosswind controls in to keep that airplane from weather vaning into the wind. So let's talk about parking. When I park my aircraft, I have a Citabria. I always like to park it into the wind. I'll set the parking brake. I will, if there's tie downs into the wind, I'll use them. If there's not, I will prefer to point into the wind, and I'll try and get directly into the wind, and I will set my stick. I have a stick, not a yoke. I'll set my stick full aft. I'll use the seat belt to secure that stick full aft, so the full elevator up, and that will force the airplane to push itself into the ground with that direct headwind. Now, if I can't get direct headwind for whatever reason when I'm parking and I'm going to have some kind of a crosswind, although still a headwind, a slight crosswind, I'll then set the stick to climb into the headwind. So I'll move the stick left or right to deflect the ailerons. So I am climbing into the headwind, and that will keep the airplane from getting rolled over by the headwind and keep those wings level during the gusts while it's parked. If you're going to tie down the airplane, you want to tie it down both on the wing struts as well as the tailwheel. Make sure that tailwheel is secure. Make sure the tailwheel cannot come up. If the tailwheel comes up and you ding your prop, or worse yet, you nose all the way over, now you're looking at damage to your prop, to your engine, cowling, and you're probably going to be unairworthy at that point. Now, if you have to park with a tailwind, which I never like to do that, and I'm going to tie down the wings and the tail if I have to park with a tailwind, I'm going to force the airplane and secure the stick full forward. So now the elevator is in the full down position, and that tailwind is hitting that elevator and pushing the tail down into the ground as opposed to lifting it up. And again, I'm either going to go full forward and away from the wind. So if I have any kind of quartering tailwind, I'm going to dive away from. So when I'm thinking about crosswind controls, whether I'm taxiing, taking off, landing, or parking, I think about climbing into the wind or diving away from the wind. And that will always keep you out of trouble, and it will always give you the proper crosswind controls to put in while you're taxiing. Dive away from, climb into. Weather vaning. Because the CG is located after the main landing gear, and the main landing gear are much further forward on the fuselage than a tricycle gear airplane, there is a larger flat plate area, the side of the fuselage behind the main gear, that is going to be more sensitive to crosswinds and wanting the airplane to weather vane into those crosswinds when they're stronger. So we have more lever arm, more surface area behind the main gear. So that means a crosswind is going to have much more impact to the aircraft than on a tricycle gear aircraft. So we have to remember that. Climb into, dive away from. And we'll talk about crosswind landings here in a little bit. But again, if we're trying to prevent the weather vaning, we have to have our crosswind controls right. And that includes the rudder. So we have to have rudder. We have to have aileron. So aileron into the wind, rudder opposite direction. Rudder keeps the nose going straight down the runway. Aileron keeps the wing from lifting and keeps the airplane from drifting right or left, where the rudder just keeps the nose going straight down the runway. Normal and short field takeoffs are the same thing in a tailwheel airplane. There's no real difference. A soft field takeoff, you're going to hold that three-point attitude longer so that the weight, the lift is generated by the wings and the weight is transferred off of the wheels, the main wheels, sooner than later, and you don't get bogged down. So how do you take off a normal takeoff? Normal takeoff off an asphalt runway, you're going to hold the aircraft in a three-point attitude, stick all the way aft, crosswind controls in with the aileron. You bring the power up, you're going to accelerate. Depending on the size of the aircraft's engine, you're going to wait about 3 to 5 seconds, and then you're going to start to relax that back pressure and actually start pushing forward to raise the tail, to decrease the angle of attack so that you decrease the lift generation to a point at which you lift off at your liftoff speed. In my Citabria, that's 60 miles per hour. So I'll raise the tail to a point, and I have a reference so that I know that when I hit 60, my angle of attack is set for the airplane to lift off the ground with minimal effort from me. I'll put a little back pressure in to make it a positive change from ground roll to flight, but it's very minimal because I get that angle of attack set ahead of time. So that's pretty much it. It's get on the runway, get squared away, add power, wait for the speed to build up a little bit, 3 to 5 seconds, raise the tail because now your elevator is effective. Hold that no more than level flight, maybe slightly tail low, pitch attitude until the aircraft lifts off. You got to have your crosswind controls in. And again, we are back to boxing the rudder pedals to keep the airplane going straight down the runway. Whether we're taking off or landing, taking off is a little easier because we have high power setting. We have a lot of thrust going over the rudder, and the rudder is very sensitive, and it's easy to keep control of the airplane. On landing, we're just the opposite. Power is off. It's lower. It's at idle. There's not as much airflow. The airflow is slowly decelerating over the rudder. So we need to box more often. And we have to think of deviations as, am I on centerline or am I deviating from centerline? And we have to think in three parts. If we're deviating away from centerline, the first point is to box the rudder so that you parallel centerline. Once you have that under control, box the rudder again to begin an intercept of the center line, and then box with the opposite rudder once you're over the center line to maintain the center line. So if we're drifting left, we would box right to parallel, box right to intercept, box left to remain on center line. So we got to keep thinking about this Rocky Balboa fight that we're going to have every time that we take off or land in a tail dragger. Next thing I want to cover is go around. Can't say it enough. Go around, go around, go around. in a tailwheel aircraft, even a tricycle gear aircraft, even though you can get away with bad landings in a tricycle gear aircraft and it makes poor pilot skills in a tricycle gear aircraft if you salvage landings, in a tailwheel aircraft, you cannot salvage a bad landing. If you try and salvage a bad landing, because you're transitioning from tricycle gear to tailwheel, you're used to having a wheel underneath the propeller, protecting you from incorrectly trying to salvage unsalvageable landings. In a tailwheel aircraft, there's no nose wheel. If you come in and you bounce and you come down nose first, the first thing that's going to hit the runway is the prop, which means the engine, which means your aircraft is unairworthy. Don't try and save a bad landing in a tailwheel aircraft. Either the landing is correct or it's not correct. It's on off. It's one or a zero. There's no in between. There's no gray. So if you're coming in and everything is good to go, make the landing. As soon as everything becomes cattywampus, you got to add power and you got to go around. Because you got to remember, a lot of the tailwheel aircraft that you're going to be learning on are underpowered compared to what you're used to flying with regards to a tricycle gear airplane. Tricycle gear airplane, you're used to 140, 150, 160, 180 horsepower, some of them over 200 or horsepower. And as soon as you add power, you're accelerating. In a tailwheel airplane, you might have 150, 140, 115, 108, 100, 85, 65, and some models of the Cub have 45 horsepower motors. So if you're not managing your energy, and you get yourself into trouble and you add that power and you're used to an additional 100 horsepower there that's not there anymore, you're not going to be able to get yourself out of trouble once you get into it. So you have to go around at the first sign of anything incorrect when it comes to a tailwheel aircraft. That's my position. I'll never change my position. I've been flying airplanes a long time. I've been flying tailwheel aircraft since 2017. And I don't care what kind of tailwheel it is. If it's not a good landing, I'm going around. Let's talk about landing. When you transition from tricycle gear airplane to a tailwheel aircraft, the tailwheel airplane is going to magnify any poor technique you have or any poor habit patterns you have learned in the tricycle gear airplane. The biggest one that I see with folks transitioning from tricycle gear airplanes to tailwheel airplanes is that somehow in tricycle gear airplanes, we've gotten to this point where we're landing way too fast, we're not flaring enough, and at the last point, right before touchdown, to make the airplane touch down where we want it, folks are pushing the yoke forward or pushing the stick forward. And this is absolutely horrible in any airplane, but especially a tailwheel aircraft. So if we're on final approach, we have to pick an aim point, whatever that aim point is. Make it the numbers, make it the end of the runway, a rock that's in front of the threshold, whatever your aim point is on final approach, we need to put that just above the glare shield in the bottom third of the windscreen. And we need to pitch to hold that aim point. I'm not going to get into pitch for airspeed or power for airspeed or any of that. Go to episode 3 if you want to hear my opinion on that. What I'm telling you is you have to pitch the airplane so that you hold a constant aim point all the way down final, because now we are drawing a line from your eyeballs through the windscreen to a point on the ground. And if those three points stay in the same place, we are now flying a straight line descending flight path with a constant angle of attack, or close to a constant angle of attack, all the way to a point. That's your aim point. We use power to adjust deviations from our desired airspeed in this scenario. If you pitch up and you pitch away from your aim point, you might capture your airspeed, but now you've screwed up your glide path. If you power up and hold your aim point constant, you can control your airspeed very precisely, because what you're doing is you're maintaining a constant angle of attack. Will you deviate slightly from your aim point? Yes, your aim point is not going to be stuck in the same part of the windscreen all the way down final. There's going to be minor deviations, but if you pitch up so much that your aim point disappears, you're doing it wrong. If you pitch down so much that your aim point ends up in the top of the windscreen, you're doing it wrong. If your power has to go all the way to idle or go all the way up, in the case of most tail draggers, beyond 1500 RPM on final approach, you're doing it wrong. So pitch to hold a constant aim point and use your power to adjust your airspeed while you're holding that constant aim point. Because as you slow up or speed up, your angle of attack will change slightly because your aim point will change slightly, and you'll see that in your windscreen, and you'll make the adjustment to hold it in the same place. Hold that aim point, create a constant angle of attack, create a straight line to that aim point, and then power as required once you have that to adjust airspeed. And by adjusting your power in your airspeed adjusting, that's going to adjust your pitch and your angle of attack. So it all kind of works together. It's not one or the other. Okay. Now, as we come down, we have to think about the landing cycle. We have final approach, we have the round out, we have ground effect, which we should be in level flight. And then for the 3-point landing, we have the flare. So in the 3-point landing, it's the easiest one for tricycle gear pilots to pick up on. You're going to come down, you're going to fly everything normal. You're going to fly down final approach. You're going to round out over the runway, 1 or 2 feet above the runway. You're going to hold that level flight and ground effect while the airplane slows down a little bit. And then you're going to get in that nose high pitch attitude, the flare. That's where the flare begins. And what you're going to do, and what I tell my students to do, is try and touch the tail wheel down first. Now, we don't want to pump the stick. We don't want to force the tail wheel down. We just want to flare, flare, flare until that tail wheel touches. And when that tail wheel touches, we freeze the stick, and the main gear will touch right after or at the same time. Once we're in a 3-point attitude, stick comes full aft. Now we're in the boxing again. Go back to being Rocky Balboa, boxing down the runway. If we're deviating left, we're going to box once right to parallel, box right once to intercept centerline, box one left to keep the airplane going down the centerline. You cannot over control. You can't panic. You can't try and fix it all with one move, because if you do, you'll end up ground looping. If you try and use the brakes to do it, you'll end up ground looping. You're moving too fast. You got to get the airplane under control first before we go to the brakes. So that's the 3-point landing. It's just like a tricycle gear landing, except you want to try and touch that tail wheel down first. And when you do, the main should come down right after it, and then you hold that stick aft. Don't forget about your crosswind controls, because the airplane is going to be wanting to weather vane into that crosswind. A bit about crosswinds and the 3-point landing. I do not land a 3-point landing into a crosswind unless it's very, very light crosswind, less than 5 knots. Tailwheel aircraft were meant to land directly into the wind. When we started making asphalt runways, we limited ourselves to 2 directions for takeoff. So then the tailwheel community created the wheel landing to land in crosswinds on asphalt runways. So a 3-point landing is the preferred way to land the airplane, and the preferred winds to have during landing, just like with any landing, are direct headwinds. Once we start deviating from a direct headwind, we're in a semi-weird place with tailwheel aircraft, almost emergency type scenario, because now we have to transition to the wheel landing. And I encourage all my learners who get their tailwheel endorsements, do not fly in a crosswind if it is anything over about 7 or 8 knots. It makes it incredibly difficult to land the airplane. And you have to use a wheel landing to do it, not a 3-point landing. So we're doing something that is not normal for a tailwheel aircraft. It becomes kind of an abnormal, semi-emergency scenario. And not a lot of people practice wheel landings. And it's the first skill that is going to get lost when it comes to tailwheel flying. So what's a wheel landing? Wheel landing is when we touch down on the main wheels first. We let the airspeed run out so that the tail falls to the ground, the tailwheel falls to ground on its own, and then we pin it back while holding crosswind controls in, just like we would on the 3-point landing. So the wheel landing is just like every other landing. Final approach is going to be the same. Round out is going to be the same. The big difference is going to be you're going to fly maybe about 5 knots faster on final approach and into the roundout. You're going to carry a little power. Think of it like a soft field landing. So you're going to carry a little bit of power, maybe 300 to 500 RPM above what you would normally carry down final. In my Citabria, it's about 1,500 RPM, 14 to 1,500 RPM. Remember, you're going to be fighting a headwind with a crosswind, and that's going to create drag. So you need a little bit more power. That's one reason why you need a little bit more power. But the other part is when you round out and get into ground effect, you want to get the airplane stabilized in ground effect. And instead of continuing to flare, you're going to allow the airplane to settle towards the ground with a bit of an incomplete flare. Instead of flaring to touch the tail wheel, now we're gonna get level and maybe just slightly tail low. And once we get level flight and ground effect over the runway, we're gonna start eking out that power in like 25 RPM increments. And you're just gonna eke the power out little by little, trying to maintain that level to just slightly tail low pitch attitude, and the airplane will touch down on the main wheels first. And when it does, you're gonna pull the power to idle and you're gonna push forward on the stick. And these are very smooth but precise movements. So as soon as those wheels kiss the concrete, you're literally flying it on, rolling it onto the runway. Once it's there, you're gonna power idle and you're gonna move the stick forward, forward stick pressure as if you were taking off. And you're gonna hold that control and you're gonna box and you're gonna have your crosswind controls in, because that airplane's gonna want a weather vane into the crosswind, and you're gonna have to fight that by boxing. You can't just hold rudder because you'll ground loop. So you're gonna be constantly putting it in, keeping the nose straight. It's gonna start deviating away from the crosswind. You're gonna have to take it out, let the crosswind take over a little bit to weather vane it back towards the center line, and then back in with the opposite rudder. And it's going to be a game. And that whole time, you're just holding that tail wheel up. And you're going to hold that tail wheel up until you have the airplane under control. And then you're going to allow that tail wheel to fall to the ground, make contact, and go full aft, still boxing, still crosswind controls, and then come on the brakes once you're down to a safe speed. So you can see that the wheel landing is much more demanding. You're going to need about 10 hours in a tailwheel aircraft to get your endorsement. Anything less than that, you are either Chuck Yeager or your instructor is giving you a questionable endorsement. I'm not saying it has to be 10 hours, but I'm going to say it's going to be around 10 hours. And we'll go into that a little bit more. 61.31 says you have to be trained. It's three subsections, but it's four things. Normal and crosswind landings. You have to receive flight training in normal and crosswind takeoffs and landings. So you can't go out there on a straight down the runway day, do 30 landings straight into the wind and receive an endorsement. It's too easy. You're not being trained completely. You actually have to go find a runway that has crosswinds. You have to be trained in crosswind techniques. You have to be trained for crosswind landings, crosswind takeoffs, wheel landings in crosswinds, and three-point landings in crosswinds, if it's safe to do a three-point landing in a crosswind in that specific aircraft. And that's where we miss some things in the tailwheel endorsement. Your instructor if they sign you off prior to training you in crosswinds or prior to that 10-hour mark, you're probably not as well trained as you think you are, and you're probably being set up for failure, specifically a ground loop. So you have to have normal and crosswind takeoffs and landings. You have to have wheel landings trained, and you have to have go-around procedures. And this all falls under flight training. Now, there is no required ground training, but a flight instructor who does not sit down with you across the table using the dry erase board, using a model of a tailwheel airplane that goes through all the theory and all the techniques and why we do what we do in a tailwheel airplane prior to flying is doing you a disservice. They're putting you in the airplane way too early and you don't understand any of the definitions and you don't understand any of the concepts. Sit down for an hour with your tailwheel instructor and go through using the dry erase board, using the model. Get used to the terms, get used to the procedures, understand what you're going to do with that airplane before you get into it. An hour is more than enough. And then if you need more along the way, do more ground training. But you have to be trained in normal and crosswind takeoffs and landings, wheel landings, and go-around procedures. Ensure that you're receiving all of that in your logbook prior to being endorsed. If you're going to instruct in tailwheels, you're more than likely going to instruct from the rear cockpit. Unless it's like a Cub, you might be in the front cockpit. But if you're going to instruct, more than likely you're going to be in the rear cockpit. Let me tell you something right now. You will see nothing straight ahead of you until you lift the tail on takeoff. And then once you drop the tail on landing, you're not going to see anything in front of you. This requires significant understanding of how to land an airplane without forward visibility. You need a very experienced instructor. You need to get a lot of experience landing from the back seat using your side references. And I'm not going to go into that. And you can expect probably another 10 hours of training to learn how to land from the back seat. Unless your aircraft is a solo from the rear cockpit, then you're already ready to go. But in a Citabria, you solo from the front seat. In a Super Cub, you solo from the front seat. So you're going to learn in the front seat. And then if you're a flight instructor and you want to instruct, you now have to switch seats and you have to get training in that back seat to make sure that you can do it safely. So if you're going to go get your tailwheel endorsement, I highly encourage it. You will enjoy it. You will find out that you have some bad habits from tricycle gear, mostly landing flat, landing fast. You can't do those in a tailwheel airplane. The other thing that people like to do, tricycle gear, is when they get to their point, they want to push forward on the yoke and try and make the airplane land. You can't do that in a tailwheel aircraft because you'll strike the prop. It'll make you a better pilot. That is 100% truth. It'll make you a better pilot. It'll make you a better, your landings better. It'll force you to understand crosswinds and how they affect you and how to taxi with crosswinds. And it's, I would encourage everybody to do it. It's well worth the 10 hours. It's well worth the expense. If you're with a credible, experienced tailwheel instructor, get out there and do it. Make it happen for yourself. And if you're a flight instructor, get that additional 10 hours in the other cockpit so that you can instruct people. It just makes you more open to more customers, more clients. Again, my name is Pete Redden. This is the way I taught it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making this part of your journey through flight training.